Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Lickin' On Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' On Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. Now here's your host of Lickin' On Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us. It is Monday, August 1st. Hard to believe we're getting through the hot days of August. Man, it has been hot and not much rain here in Texas. Hope it is cooler where you're at, but we're doing well. My wife flew off to Washington State. We're up by Matt, kind of north of Matt, a little bit up in eastern Washington, and it's even hotter there, 108 up there, and we're dealing with 100, 101. So anyway, hot temperatures across the country. So glad to have you with us, everybody. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, and we're so grateful to have you as our listener. Again, our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. We are doing so much to improve on the podcast. There's so much development going on here, and we're so excited to tell you about it. You're going to need to check up, and we're in the process of getting – we're having some issues with Apple Podcast right now. It's updating their website so that our latest podcast, they're being posted. You're being posted to our Lickin' On Lending podcast website. So you can go to lickinonlending.com. You'll see all of the podcasts. Everything's as normal there. We'll be releasing a new website that's coming up here in the near future. We're working with a great company. Tom Hazard and the team at Podtize is just doing an outstanding job of getting us set up and doing some new features that we're going to be able to offer everyone as we get into further, maybe September before we get it all fully launched. We're very excited about it, but we're working aggressively to improve this whole listener experience for you, our listener. So a lot of feedback's come in. We're going to be doing a lot more interactivity as we go talk back and forth with each of our listeners and our guests that are dialed in. So we're hoping more interactivity. But let's say a special thank you to our sponsors right now, Form Free. They do a great job on the count check. It can be used to satisfy Freddie Mac's re-verification of employment requirement. A lot of good things going on with Form Free. Go listen to the interview we did with Christy Moss on June 20th. Man, how time flies. June 20th, 2022. As also, we work closely with Lender Toolkit. They've got some wonderful technology and tools that are very affordable. You know what? Technology is getting expensive out there, folks. But these tools at Lender Toolkit are really some of the best out there. We did an interview on July 11th with Brent Emler and Michael Wetbeck, Blueprint. And Brent Emler's with Lender Toolkit and Michael is with Blueprint, and talking about underwriting, some pretty cool things that are going on there. Check that out, as well as SnapDocs. They have an eVault solution that makes it so simple to get started with eNotes. It's so easy to transact across partners, and that doing so will quickly become a default for your closings. In doing so, it'll become a default for your closings, a preferred approach for all of your partners. You definitely be moving forward on that. It's hard to believe how long it's taken for eNotes and the whole eMortgage to really get to that level. If you're looking for a CRM solution, man, you got to talk to the folks at Total Expert. They are the leading fintech software company when it comes to a purpose-driven CRM and a customer engagement platform for the modern financial institutions. It is really such cool. And they've got some technology involving for recruiting. You've got to check out Total Expert. Go to the website, totalexpert.com, and see what they have. Call us or go to our sponsor page, and we'll help you with that. Also, Simple Nexus. What they're doing at Simple Nexus helps you reduce the cost. More and more people are moving away from other providers and saying, you know what, we got to cut our costs. And Simple Nexus provides more of a robust service than others out there, but at a reduced cost. You've got to check out what's going on. You can listen to the interview we did on June 27th with Shane Westra and find out some great information there, but you really need to get a hold of your Simple Nexus rep. Also want to say a special thank you to other sponsors, Mortgage Bankers Association of America. Get registered for the annual conference. You need to do it, folks. Lenders One, and Mortgage Collaborative, these two co-ops, the Mortgage Collaborative and the Lenders One, do a great job of helping lenders get together in a smaller, more intimate setting to interact and find about best practices of each of the lenders out there. We also recommend you using Success Kit. Does a great job of having your story be told and your testimonials be told. Knowledge Coop, my friend up there, Ken Perry with Knowledge Coop, does a great job of creating an LMS learning management system, but also it's so much more. You got to check out their latest new technology. You can do so much through this platform. I could go on and on about that one. As well as Mobility MMI, we use them along with Modex for recruiting, finding the right talent, helping find people that are, is the best fit for the organizations that we consult to. I encourage you to check out both of these companies. They're actually a good complement. They're competitors, but they're a great complement to each other. So be sure to check them out. Also, Mortgage Advisory Tools and DW Consulting, both these companies do an excellent job of helping you get in front of the right people. Especially, if I, finally, a special thank you to Adam, Les, Matt, Alice, Alan, and Jack for their contributions each week to the podcast. Let's get over and talk with the Adam DeSantis of the MBA and get the MBA update.
Hi, I'm Adam DeSantis. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute, the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, the full House of Representatives passed H.R. 3962, the Secure Notarization Act, a bill to establish federal minimum standards for the use of remote online notarization, or RON. MBA fully supported this legislation and issued a Mortgage Action Alliance call to action earlier in the week, as well as a press statement from MBA President and CEO Bob Brooksmith after it had passed. The Secure Notarization Act has now cleared the relevant committees and full House with broad bipartisan support, signaling to the Senate that there is considerable interest to clear the bill in the upper chamber. MBA will continue to advocate the Senate to advance this legislation as a standalone measure or to be included as part of a larger vehicle before the end of the 117th Congress. Now that's it for this week. Thank you for listening.
Good job. Appreciate the MBA and all that they do for our industry. Again, I encourage you to get signed up for the annual conference. That conference is selling out fast. A lot of people are going to be there. The question is, how many people are going to be there as a part of the industry, as part of a company, or are they being there handing out resumes? So many people are leaving the industry, are getting let go across the industry. A lot more of that's unfortunately going to be happening. So this could be an important conference to see who is surviving and coming and thriving. And then who, what talent is out there? And there's a great opportunity for you to update, upgrade your talent of your company. So be at that MBA conference. So many people are going to be there registering, already registering, registered for it. And we'll be there as well with our podcast equipment. Thank you, Adam. Great job. Also sign up for the Mortgage Action Alliance app. This week, we've got Les Parker with his TM Spotlight here and a macro view of the market. So let's get on with that. Les, what you got?
TM Spotlight Soundbite is brought to you by PowerSeller, making hedging easy.
Hey, J. Powell, way you shake that thing, gonna make growth burn, gonna make rates sting.
The U.S. GDP slipped negative for two consecutive quarters, while the Eurozone's GDP surprisingly rose. Meanwhile, China declared its support for feeding its property companies negative cash flows, adding to anticipated Chinese banking woes. The recent 2 weeks of Treasury auctions found robust foreign appetite, resulting in happy bond bulls. The future holds more confusing news, so expect more wild moves. Additionally, the fast deterioration in housing suggests that mortgage rates continue to fall faster than the 10-year yield. Janet Yellen going to hold our hand. Tell us no lies. Make rates happy clams. These views are my own. See what moves when Fed shakes at tmspotlight.com.
I got to start singing with that one. Les Parker, you never cease to amaze me. The music you pull out and the how you tie it to what's going on the market. So he and Les Parker and Gary Kentrebone team up each week to produce a really good segment that is informative and just entertaining. Both. Excellent job. I love it. Can't wait to get your comments on that, Jack. There's certainly some a lot of activity out there, but let's get over to Matt first, and then Jack, you and I are going to ask Matt a million questions. Why are things going on? It's really, really good. But let's get started with Matt Graham, who is founder of and CEO of MBS Live. with a market update up there in the Portland area, staying cool and calm and loving these markets, man. Good job. We're giving you all the
well, first
all the
off,
reason, all the
I
credit.
Got two corrections for you, Dave. Two corrections right out of the gate. Staying cool in Portland, not so much a thing this past week. It was 102 yesterday.
Oh, no.
But we can't really compete with Texas, so I won't try.
Yeah,
but then I'm going to limit you and Jack to a couple hundred thousand questions, not a million. That would be the other correction. But moving on to markets and rates, I'm delighted that Les mentioned the faster drop in mortgage rates because that was one of the most interesting things that happened last week. And, of course, he mentioned the Fed, which was the big calendar item on Wednesday afternoon and for the week in general. No surprise from the rate hike itself. That was widely expected. And what changed, what was interesting, there's now a debate surrounding whether or not this Fed announcement was dovish, a.k.a. bond friendly, for lack of a more simple term. And that had to do with a few things. Number one, Powell saying we may start to slow the pace of tightening now, and also saying we're not going to be as explicit on telling you what we think rates are going to do. Interesting comment considering the next meeting has the dot plot in which every Fed member explicitly forecasts where they think the Fed funds rate is going to be. I guess what Powell's really referring to is they're not going to come out with a bunch of comments leading up to that will present a unified sense of where the board is leaning in terms of the rate increase in September. What Powell did say, and the way I think that you can balance this dovish versus hawkish debate, is to say that they're data dependent, a phrase they've used before, a phrase we used in advance of this meeting, saying this is probably what's going to happen after today. And Powell confirmed that. He also confirmed this was the not-so-bond-friendly confirmation that something we talked about last week, which is that the Fed does not care if we go into a recession. It doesn't care if there's economic weakness, if that economic weakness and that recession is a result of the Fed doing what it needs to do to fight inflation. So Powell reiterated that and reminded us it's not a binary choice. We're not choosing between fighting inflation or the economy. We are only fighting inflation no matter what happens to the economy. And yes, we'll try to do the soft landing thing. But at the end of the day, fighting inflation is better for the economy in the long run than anything else. Bonds generally didn't seem to care too much about the Fed announcement at the time. The curve reacted a bit more than like the 10-year on an outright basis. But it was perfectly palatable. There was no mention of MBS sales. Powell did say that the normalization process, which is the thing where they are decreasing their amount of bond purchases each month, or decreasing the size of their balance sheet, rather, is going just fine. No need to adjust it. That is due for a bump here in, well, today, maybe. I'll have to double-check that. So MBS are rolling off the balance sheet. And he did say, I believe he said it would take at least another 2 years before that process had come to fruition. But the biggest, most interesting thing about last week is then economic data, by the way. GDP and Chicago PMI helped bonds rally into the end of the week. And MBS prices have been so compressed between coupons that it has not been a very big jump in terms of upfront cost to get down to the next lower rate. Also, you have these lower coupons really surging in value compared to the upper coupons as investors are aggressively seeking what the secondary market would refer to as quote-unquote prepay protection.
Yep.
Not quite the same thing as a prepayment penalty, but a similar notion. So investors don't want to be caught with mortgages that are going to pay off very quickly if with a little mini refi boom. So they move down to lower coupons, which have a little bit more inherent protection against that. And that has led to a rapid repricing of normal in the mortgage market with more than a few lenders, maybe even a majority of lenders. I don't know. I'd have to pull the audience, but under 5% already, back into the fours, something that a lot of people didn't think would happen even this year if you had asked them a couple weeks ago. So 4.625 on a conforming 30 is kind of a sweet spot due to MBS coupons limitations. And it is definitely out there right now. So that's just something to be aware of. If you are a loan officer who it thinks rates are still in the mid fives, they're not. Maybe they are for you, but for many lenders, they are not. And so those quotes are going to be out there, 4.5, 4.625 zone. And with varying levels of comp. I mean, some people are saying, you know, with no additional point. And yeah, that's a new reality for a lot of people. So in the bigger picture, does this last? Remains to be seen. It's data dependent. We need to see how the data comes in over the next 2 months to see how the Fed reacts. But at the very least, the rates in mid-June can be confirmed to be the top for this cycle, barring some unforeseen shock, especially in inflation data. But at this point, the economic data has been weak enough. It would suggest that we're probably not going to see that kind of shock. But maybe that's why they call them unforeseen. Sorry, it took a bit longer, Dave. Lots of interesting stuff. But,
lots of interesting stuff.
We'll open up
yeah.
the 100,000 questions now.
Now for all the questions. Jack, jump in here with me. So ISM, looking at that, that was to comment about that number today. Love that. Let's start there, and over to you, Jack. Sorry, I'm Matt.
Yes,
Matt, I was going to say Matt. Yeah, start up. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Oh, ISM, yeah. So this morning, this week's three big economic reports. You have ISM manufacturing today, non-manufacturing Wednesday, and then the jobs report on Friday. Manufacturing is already out this morning. It came in a little bit hotter than expected, but a little bit lower than the previous reading. So that's just sort of confirming this gradual downtrend since early to mid-2021. But the more significant development there may be the prices paid component, which fell to 60.0. Historically, medium to medium high, but significantly lower than the forecast, which was 75.0, and even lower versus the previous reading of 78.5. So that is really indicating a sea change in inflationary pressures in the manufacturing sector. So welcome news for the Fed and company.
Mm-hmm. Jack, we didn't think the rates were going to go up this as high as they went. We didn't think they were going to fall as quickly and to down to these levels. So what's your take on all this, Mr. Nunnery?
Well, first of all, David, I'm shocked. I didn't know Les Parker had Led Zeppelin in his repertoire. So, I mean, you know, when he started playing the Led Zeppelin tune, I'm sitting over here at my desk kind of, you know, playing the drums and, you know, I'm going,
yep.
Okay, Les, you know, you brought the game today. You know, David, there's been times when I've been bearish on Jerome Powell. I'm actually starting to, you know, get the feeling that Jerome's got both hands on the wheel, and you know, we just may see a soft landing before this is all over. You know, we've talked a lot about recession. You know, are we in one? Are we not in one? You know, it's hard to, you know, peg a recession when you've got such strong, you know, job numbers and employment in the country, right? And yeah, I've read articles about the cash reserve of consumers, and, you know, that's a different factor than, you know, what we typically see entering a recession. I think, this jobs number, you know, is going to be important this week. It just kind of in my mind says, you know, the economy, you know, does have a lot of positive things going on about it. And if this job number shows any weakening, which I don't think, Matt, it's forecast to do that. I think it's forecast to basically come in unchanged. But, you know, any sign of weakening in the employment sector, I think will work in favor of bringing rates down. What's your thought there, Matt?
The question being, if the jobs report comes in roughly as expected, that it's good for rates?
Well, even if it comes in a little weaker than expected, but
I don't think that a strong labor market is particularly threatening. But conversely, I don't think a weak labor market really adds to the sense that the Fed is going to slow down more than they already are leaving the door open to doing. That's a terrible sentence for an English major. I think that a weak employment report, just one, would be sort of like, okay, well, there's a casualty of our policy. Then if it continues to happen, then they may just look a little bit more closely to maybe justify inflation slowing down. Because I think if you ask the Fed what they're thinking we probably don't have to do too much more at all, and we could just let this play out. But at times like this, if you're a central bank, you can't be seen not doing all you can to fight inflation. So until it's in check, then they kind of have to walk the walk. But yeah, I think, you know, weak economic data has been the key thing that has created the promise of lower inflation. So in that sense, if the jobs number was significantly weaker, it could easily add to what we're seeing. I think some people are expecting it to be weaker because of the recent reports that have been surprisingly downbeat. And notably, it is forecast to come in at 250 versus 372 previously. So 250 is historically fantastic, but still less than it was last month.
Right. And I think, you know, I mean, at least I think there's a lot of us out here that, you know, are waiting, you know, for, you know, inflation to turn the tide. And I know it takes time, right? Back-to-back 75 basis point rate hikes, you don't get a rate hike and then 3 days later you see the implications or the impact of that rate hike. And so it takes time for this 150 basis points up in the last 2 months to kind of run through the economy. I would think, though, that, you know, if we were to see inflation start, you know, moving in the other direction, that's only going to be helpful to all of the us that want to see rates start to decline even further than what they've done.
Yeah, I think some of what we've seen so far is sort of anticipatory, leaning on other reports that aren't just CPI and PCE, stuff like the ISM data out this morning, for example, you know, showing that turn. And it's a great question as to how much of the strength in bonds is anticipating more to come or reflecting what we've already seen. I think it's probably some of both. And as always, we're going to have to wait and see what the proportion is.
Well, we're going to leave it at that. We could go on. There's so much, but you got to sign up for this service that Matt offers. MBS Live is probably one of the most amazing pieces of technology if you are dealing as a loan officer trying to help consumers find the right rate and the right timing and know what's going on. It's just such a powerful tool. It's running a business, running risk management, and it's up to date, up to the nanosecond, nearly nanosecond. Am I right in that, Matt? This thing is just like,
definitely.
You're right on.
As soon as it's there, it's there.
It's there. As soon as it's there, it's there. I like that. Yeah. I listen to a comedian talk about every now and then. He says, have you ever thought about that? Every now and then? How specific is that? Now and then. Anyway, when it's there, it's there. It's sitting right with that. Anyway, good job, Matt. Check out Matt's service by going to mbslive.net. Don't do the .com thing, do .net. And then use the LOL for Lickin' on Lending podcast as a sign-up code. LOL and a sign-up code, and you get the extended trial period with no credit card required. Of course, you're going to want to use a credit card to get it in there because you're going to want to sign up for the service. It's that good. Matt, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave.
Stay cool up there. 100 degrees over up there in Portland. 103, did you say? Ooh, what's going on in Pacific Northwest? Not very often it gets that hot up there. But anyway, come down to cool Texas. We're only 100 degrees today. Maybe 99 below. Anyway, good to have you. Appreciate you being here, Matt. Really do. Alice Alvey, imagine that, is taking some PTO, paid time off. Way to go, Alice. She and her husband are dear friends, and we're so grateful for them. And so, Andy and Alice, wish you guys a great vacation. I hope you're off having some great time. Knowing Andy, he's out fishing somewhere, and Alice is joining him right there because she is such a faithful, loving do what my husband wants to do kind of spouse. So anyway, hope you're enjoying a great vacation. But Alan Pollock is here with a tech update. Alan, so good to have you joining in on the podcast today. Appreciate you, man.
It is so good to be here, as always. And great content so far. I noticed early on, one is, as I've mentioned many other weeks, I'm still in the process of buying a home. And so the drop in rates is very exciting for folks like me. And, you know, still historically low, right? That comment from before, I remember my very first house, it was near 7 to 8%. So still fantastic as far as what's out there. But for new people, right, who've never had a loan, there's so much confusion out there, right? All the technology, all the websites, all the rates, what are points? I think borrower education, all the tech is great, but borrower education is still probably the most important thing. So as a financial institution or a lender, if you provide that information on your website or a way to learn more or pull the ripcord, I call it, click to talk to somebody, that is huge. And if you create a great customer experience, you can look for a referral and repeat business. But, David, let's talk about low tech. Even though that was low tech, let's talk about some real low tech. We talked about the taco maker, right?
Yeah. Well, that's hilarious.
Funny enough, I wasn't looking for it, but I found the coffee machine maker. So here's how it works. You basically and they show a video of two girls talking, and they go up to a coffee vending machine, and she puts her Apple phone payment to the machine. And animated, she can't see the side of the booth, but the booth opens. And you can see a gentleman sitting in there wearing an apron with many pockets, and he basically gets a cup. He then takes coffee off a pot that was brewing on the side of him, and he pours it in the cup. He sniffs it to make sure it smells good. He goes in one of his pockets. He pulls out one of those little things of creamer. He opens it up, pours it in, takes a straw, spins it himself. He takes a little sip to make sure it tastes good. He pours a little sugar in it, and then he opens the window and puts the cup there. The girl takes the cup. She's talking to her friend, and then she walks away. Right, so what do we call that in technology? We call it selling puppets, right? Or what do we call it? We call it our MVP, right? Do people want a coffee machine, and do they want hot coffee on demand? So as we consider spending our money as lenders or as technology vendors, you have to consider an MVP, which is what, David? A minimal viable product. Absolutely critical to validate the market. And so many of us, including myself, many times, you build it and think that they will come, as you know, many books have told us in the past, but no, you build it and they do not come. In fact, there are many solutions in our industry that are built before their time. And the only reason that that happened is because we did not listen. That's right. Yep. We did not listen to our clients, our customers, the market, advice, and we didn't do the right intelligence to understand what are people actually buying. So with that, let's move on. You mentioned eNotes and eMortgages, David. Fantastic content. There's so much progression and movement there, but I'm going to be honest with you. Fannie Mae doesn't talk about that as a top 2022 business priority. Let's talk about what those are. So a friend of mine, Kerry, if you're out there, thank you very much, posted an article, and I usually find these on my own, but for this for some reason at this one time I didn't find it, the Fannie Mae article, and it just came out last week. It's called Lender Site Cost Cutting as a top 2022 business priority. And there's a bunch of information. I'm going to save you some of the nitty-gritty details, but I do want to mention just one or two items. And what they say is that in 2021, the mortgage industry experienced significant growth, right, as originators reach record highs. So think about that giant climb up the mountain. But so far in 22, a number of new challenges have emerged, including significant home price appreciation, rapidly rising interest rates, persistent inflation with a slowdown in global economic growth, right? Those are the things that you hear on the news every day. We all know that. But cost cutting is becoming a top priority since what year? 2017. And here's the reason why. Talent management has gradually climbed since 2017, but this year has become the second most important priority, making sure we have the right people. Moreover, this is Fannie Mae's quoted sentence, the importance of consumer-facing technology has ticked downward over the past 3 years after peaking in 2019, and this year it dropped out of the top three. That's huge.
That means
that we're no longer focused on what are the right tools, how do we present things to borrowers. The environment has changed. Here's what everyone's focused on. They're focused on cost-cutting and talent management, but you know what the biggest one is, David? Business process streamlining. That is huge. And Fannie Mae says specifically, in preparing for the shift towards a more purchase market-focused market, there was a double word in there in my copy-paste, I apologize. Lenders most commonly cited improving the origination process and customer experience as their top strategy. And when you think about that, what does it mean? Well, it means that how can we leverage the technology we already have to improve the top talent that we have? And how do we help the top talent that we have be excellent with assistance and robotic process and all the things that are going to make them be top producers? And I don't mean on the origination side. I'm talking about processing and underwriting and closing and sending out disclosures and validating income, running integrations automatically. What can we do? What is the right mixture of technology? It's time to stop just building, especially on the lender side. I know some of you are listening to me thinking that, well, you got these big budgets and you're going to continue to build. And yes, just build and connect with the right tools and the right integration processes. It's probably, David, it could deserve its own podcast just thinking about what to build these days and how to even manage all the vendors. Because now there's a lot of cross-pollination between acquisitions people have made and then also between, you know, some people have pivoted, right? There's some people that thought they were doing one thing and they decided to change because their customers asked them to do something different. So I thought it was very interesting. Fannie Mae basically said that 42% said that improving mortgage origination processes and customer experience is top of mind right now.
Totally get it. Totally get it. We've got to be looking for efficiencies. One of the things, Jack, that you did when we worked together, when you were at your former employer and you invited me to come in, we spent so much time in building that correspondent division that you were charged to build. We spent so much time on the process management. I know this is one of your favorite topics and that we had Alan, that Alan just touched on. Your thoughts and why do you think this is finally catching hold? It seems like it's just it's such a slow process, like e-mortgages, just such a slow process. Jack, your thoughts?
Well, David, I think we're talking about survival now, right? I mean, 10,657 cost to throughput alone?
Yeah.
Not sustainable, David.
Oh.
You know, I mean, you know, and I really dug into those, and that's – that was, I think it was the second quarter performance data out of the MBA, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the data over the last 5 or 6 years, it becomes really apparent that, you know, when the mortgage market really expands in terms of originations, the cost to originate goes down. And when the market contracts, the cost to originate goes up. Well, what does that tell me? It tells me that a lot of the costs currently in the throughput models are fixed costs.
Exactly right.
And so, you know, you and I have talked, you know, numerous times about how do you variabilize as many fixed costs as possible, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, to what Alan was just saying, David, you know, we're now in survival mode. And $10,600, whatever the number was, $37, is not a sustainable cost to originate number. And so, you know, you see companies moving away from enhancing the experience of the consumer. And why? Well, because if you're not around, you know, then, you know, it really doesn't matter whether or not you have a great consumer experience or a good consumer experience. You're out of business.
Right.
So I think what Alan was saying, he was hitting it right on the head that, you know, in this type of market with these type of costs associated with throughput, you know, we have to look to process streamlining and technology that allows us to get more out of our best performers, or let me say it this way, more out of fewer performers. You know, and so now we're talking, you know, about, you know, automating processes, the robotics component of it. But David, I think it really all comes back to, you know, you got to make it to the other side to be able to enjoy the benefits of a rallying interest rate market. Because if you don't, you know, you're on the sideline.
So true. That's exactly right. And I think,
yeah.
Alan, Why? Go ahead. Comment to that. You got some comments? I have a couple questions. Several.
I was just going to say, I really, for anyone that is considering what to do with staff and technology, if you think about what Jack just kind of said that a lot more eloquently than I said it. I kind of gave you the brass tacks, and then Jack made it all sound really fancy. But I got to be honest with you, the survival is, right, not only how do we survive, and nobody wants to let people go, right? So maybe you can create ways that certain individuals work better in certain places, like creating a process that creates a disclosure desk, right? But the technology gets you there. You no longer need people to do that. But I guess kind of where I'm going is, imagine putting brand new trains on the track. You shut the subway down, New York City, and you don't train anyone how to use the new trains. And all of a sudden, people start coming and they want to go on the trains and no one knows how to drive them. That's what's going to happen, right? Eventually, you're going to say, these trains, put them back in the yard. We got to bring the old trains back. And so we have to make sure that not only is it survival, like Jack was saying, but we start modifying and training and understanding how to use new technology to help drive forward. Otherwise, we're just going to have to rehire all the same people that, you know, we just displaced and moved on with.
Yeah, that 42% saying approve it. It's more than just technology. Certainly, there's area where we can save money with technology. That's where, like I said, thinking of Simple Nexus, and several people contacted me this week and say, hey, Dave, we checked them out as a result of being a sponsor on your podcast. We're really impressed. You've been talking about how you can save money. And it's literally, in particular case, one of their major competitors, not going to run down companies or that, one particular one, it's a 50% technology savings on a transactional basis. So that's one thing you do. I really go to the point, Alan, one of the several people asked, and I was wondering the question as these questions started coming from our listeners, is how variable can you make your technology expense? Are you seeing the revenue model for the vendors going to more of a that? Or I'm thinking of one particular, one of the largest LOSs out there, probably all know what it is. They are expensive, and it's a fixed cost. And in a contracting market, people are wanting out of that so badly. Alan, what is the chance of us going more to a variable model?
It's a great question. And I alluded to it just a little bit earlier. You know, some of the vendors are offering business rules and workflow processes in their technology. There's a couple vendors that do nothing but workflow process management, and they're doing a great job at that. I know of at least two of them, and there's definitely a few more. And then you also have folks that they know how to configure their loan origination system. These platforms, as much as you hear a lot of the chatter of what's good and what's bad and who's expensive and not, they're all fantastic pieces of technology. I work for one of them. They all comparatively have options and configurations to get the work completed that you need. They may not all be perfect, and there's a lot of improvement where that's occurring. So, you know, if you think about taking baby steps, your loan origination system should be able to help you take those initial baby steps, at least to get to the point where then you can understand what you really need. And then you need to look and talk with your vendors to figure out what they have and what they can support.
What is the – I mean, I'm thinking some of the LOSs out there. You work for an LOS. Are you guys more of a fixed cost or a variable model? And what are you hearing out there, generally speaking, as far as the trend, as far as how to set up a cost structure? If you're going to get away from a fixed cost, then I'm going to assume it's going to be more expensive on a per transaction basis. And
sure.
To be able to –
I mean,
it's one or the other, is it not?
It is kind of funny, right? I think we've all heard the term death by a thousand cuts. A lot of lenders have always been charged at the cost of a funded or a closed loan. And it's become to the point where it costs you so much to originate a loan, you can only pay so much on a funded loan. But then the technology vendors look at it as, well, hey, there's a bunch of transactions. If I charged you for all of the transactions and everything you did up front, right, then it's going to cost you even more. So there has to be some gray area in the middle that's good for negotiating that term. But when you look at the real cost, David, yes, those technologies and the different things, the tools that are used can be costly. You can use technology to use them and don't use them. So as an example, one thing that we do at Open Close is in our point of sale, based on the validity of data, the conditionality of writing a rule and saying, hey, if this FICO score from a soft credit pull is less than or equal to this, then don't run automated services to validate assets, right? Because those things can be expensive. That's one way. But the other thing is on the LOS side, there's certain LOS systems that require you to hire outside consultant agencies or to have multiple employees that can help manage your system. And then there's other ones that don't require you that to do that. And you want to figure out where you sit in that component, because your variable cost isn't just the cost to fund the loan. It's your cost to manage and maintain the technology, yeah. Right? And there's that hidden piece in the middle with all the vendors that are used to use the technology and then your cost to maintain it. And then, of course, what the vendor charges you. So it's not a simple answer, David, is where I'm going. There's a lot of variables to it. But there is probably a sweet spot in the middle that most people should fine-tune themselves to get into.
Good discussion. Got to get to more of a variable cost. Jack, you hit the nail on the head on that one. You've always been an advocate of it. That's why I run my business. All my businesses are run on a variable cost model. Yeah, it may cost a little bit more when it's going strong, but I also like the downside when things slow down a bit. I don't have that fixed cost in there. Jack, I'll let you have the last word on this important discussion.
Well, I just want to go back and touch on something that Alan just mentioned, because I think it really is a very good point that he made. And you know, so look, when you look at workflow, okay, let's break it back down. Business rules engines. You know, some business rules engines, first of all, business rule engines are not created equal. You see some that are very robust and some that are pretty lightweight, David. I mean, is the business rule engine just really routing files based upon loan level parameters to working on, right? The more complex files, right, to your more seasoned underwriters, some of the easier files, W-2 wage earners, route to some of your newer associates. And then there's rules engines that, really embrace the automation component of this business too, right? But the point that Alan made that I just want to hit again is, what is the cost of configuring and maintaining, your LOS, or your business rules engine. I know Alan and I have seen some very, very complicated tools or tool sets around the configuration of your LOS and the configuration inside of the business rules engine. If it's something that is analogous to, flying a space shuttle, there's going to be a lot of cost associated with keeping, your software and your business rules relevant. Because what do we know about the mortgage business? Well, we know that it changes. It's a dynamic environment. What was good 2 weeks ago, whether or not it's regulatory or, house resolutions or whatever, but the rules change. And so you're going to be constantly in your LOS changing configurations. And is that going to be, are your people working with a rules engine that is relatively straightforward, that, doesn't take someone who has a PhD in Oracle to, be able to do that? Or is it just going to cost you a lot of money, to be able to ingest and change configurations to stay current with whatever dynamic changes are taking place in the marketplace. So, I think that's a very important consideration that you have to take into account when you're assessing technology in the marketplace as you get ready to make moves. And so thank you, Alan, for bringing up something that, I think is very relevant in any technology decision.
Alan, you always bring up some great content in this segment. Appreciate it very much. I'm getting a lot of questions in. What is the chances of – is it okay, so we're going to cover a couple of these questions real fast. Alice is on vacation, and we'll explain about the hot topic again in just a minute. So, Alan, here's one question. What is the chances of me getting out of my current fixed contract and getting into a variable contract with my LOS? I am choking at this cost because my volume is down. I think you're talking about minimums. A lot of these companies have put in minimums. You know, to get this price, you have to have the considered to have the minimum number of transactions, and they've fallen well below what they anticipate to be the minimums. Therefore, they're in this place where they're really hurting. Thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the question, by the way. It's without knowing more information, I'll give you a very quick high-level opinion, and that would be to look at where you are in your contract and is it time for a renegotiation. You have a sound business. You know where you want to be, and you know what's possible where you are, and there may be a way to renegotiate to extend the lifetime of your contract, especially if you like your vendor and the ability to kind of look at figure out what those new details are and how you can make that more of a variable based cost. There probably will still be a minimum. And if you can't modify that, then maybe look at the cost of the different vendors. Maybe you have too many vendors. Maybe you don't have enough. There's probably some other things to look at. It's not a simple strategy or a simple calculation, but I would look at those areas first.
Good stuff all the way through. I love this, what you set up with us. Listeners, we've got to wrap this up. But it's 42% say they improved the mortgage origination process. Only 25% in this survey that Alan just talked about, only 25% say partner with a builder or real estate agents. That is interesting. So why would you not spend more time partnering with builders? Anyway, it's interesting where these surveys, where did you get this survey again? I'm seeing the image
from Fannie Mae, our friend Doug Duncan.
Okay. Oh, Doug. Well, Doug does a great job of that, but that's amazing, the results. Could go on and on about that. Thank you so much, Alan, for being here each and every week as you bring us an update. Good stuff always. The taco funnel is still one of the more commented ones on. I won't tell you about all the comments. I thought it was kind of crazy, but a lot of comments. So what do they say about that? What do they say about a politician? Whatever you do, talk about me. If you want to cuss, use my name. If you want to say praises, use my name. But use my name. Alan, you got a lot of people using your name on that taco one. A lot of people got the biggest chuckle out of it. Got pictures sending over to me. This is what I recommend. So fascinating. All right, folks, that wraps up this week's update on the markets and what's going on in the daily up-to-date in all these various areas of the market. We try to cover in the first half of our podcast. Again, the Hot Topic segment is now being pre-recorded. It will be played after this podcast when you go to listen on a downloaded basis. We're collecting so many ideas about hot topics we have. Jack and I were just talking a little bit ago about the importance of servicing. And so we have started doing a series of interviews with Mark Helm, who works with us, probably one of the foremost authorities on loan servicing in the nation. Some really exciting podcasts that are going to be coming up on that topic, as well as many, many others. If you have ideas, listeners, that you would like to hear from us, please get a hold of us. We'd love to hear from you. And we will get your suggested hot topic discussed. And if you also have a guest that you recommend that you think would really do a great job on that, yes, just got a text message in saying, hey, could you help us talk to someone, get someone on here to help us figure out a way to cut costs. Guess what? We've got just the person. I'll be telling you about him. He just joined our consulting firm. Very excited about how you can cut costs on technology. Great to have you with us, everybody. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, Finastra, Form Free Lender Toolkit, SnapDocs, Total Expert, Simple Nexus, and then also Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative Success Kit, Knowledge Coop, and Mortgage Mobility, MMI, Modex, Mortgage Advisory Tools, as well as DW Consulting, MBA, all of them. Thanks. So grateful to have you as sponsors. Grateful to have you as listeners. Have a great week, everybody, and look forward to having you back here next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.